Hey, lifers, Woody Overton here, and I've got something big for y'all. Real Life, Real Crime Live is happening Saturday, July 19th at Southeastern Louisiana University Memorial Theater, and it's going to be one hell of a night. We're talking real stories, real crime, real emotion, straight from my case files and experiences I live. If you ever wanted to sit front row for the kind of stuff I can't always say on the mic, this is your chance. General admission tickets are just $50. That gets you in the door for an unforgettable night with your RRC family. Grab your seat now at bit.ly/RLRCGeneral. But if you want the full experience, you need that VIP pass. For $100, here's what you're getting. Round-trip VIP shuttle service from the Southeastern Alumni Center. No stress, no parking, no worries. A VIP welcome bag packed with exclusive RRC swag and surprises. Early access to the venue so you get the best seats in the house. And a private VIP reception after the show with me. Food, drinks, good conversation, and your first drinks on me. After that, drinks will be available for purchase at the reception throughout the event. VIP tickets are limited, so get yours while they last at bit.ly/RLRCVIP. And lifers, don't forget, we've locked in a block of rooms at the Home to Suites by Hilton just minutes from the venue. Whether you're coming in from out of town or just want to make it a weekend, we've got you covered. Oh, and bring your wallet because we'll have a merch table set up with exclusive RRC gear ready to go. Look, this ain't just another podcast event. This is a night of true crime, community, and connection like only Real Life Real Crime can deliver. Grab your general admission tickets at bit.ly/RLRCGeneral or upgrade to the VIP experience at bit.ly/RLRCVIP. Let's make some memories, lifers, and I'll see you there. Hey, lifers, Woody Overton here, and I've got something big for y'all. Real Life, Real Crime Live is happening Saturday, July 19th at Southeastern Louisiana University Memorial Theater, and it's going to be one hell of a night. We're talking real stories, real crime, real emotion, straight from my case files and experiences I live. If you ever wanted to sit front row for the kind of stuff I can't always say on the mic, this is your chance. General admission tickets are just $50. That gets you in the door for an unforgettable night with your RRC family. Grab your seat now at bit.ly/RLRCGeneral. But if you want the full experience, you need that VIP pass. For $100, here's what you're getting. Round-trip VIP shuttle service from the Southeastern Alumni Center. No stress, no parking, no worries. A VIP welcome bag packed with exclusive RRC swag and surprises. Early access to the venue so you get the best seats in the house. And a private VIP reception after the show with me. Food, drinks, good conversation, and your first drinks on me. After that, drinks will be available for purchase at the reception throughout the event. VIP tickets are limited, so get yours while they last at bit.ly/RLRCVIP. And lifers, don't forget, we've locked in a block of rooms at the Home to Suites by Hilton just minutes from the venue. Whether you're coming in from out of town or just want to make it a weekend, we've got you covered. Oh, and bring your wallet because we'll have a merch table set up with exclusive RRC gear ready to go. Look, this ain't just another podcast event. This is a night of true crime, community, and connection like only Real Life Real Crime can deliver. Grab your general admission tickets at bit.ly/RLRCGeneral or upgrade to the VIP experience at bit.ly/RLRCVIP. Let's make some memories, lifers, and I'll see you there.
Yeah, the rights remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have a right to an attorney prior to or during any question. If you can't afford one, the court will appoint one for you. Do you understand your rights?
When the wolf is at your door, we'll be right back.
warning, this episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast may contain descriptions of acts of violence or that of a sexual nature and should be for people that are 18 years or older. Heed my warning, people. I do not get the facts of these cases off of the internet or from some television show. The facts I'm retelling you were presented to me by the victims of the crimes or the perpetrators who committed the crimes against the victims. My descriptions of the crime scenes, what I saw with my own two eyes. If you're going to get offended, please turn this podcast off now. Thank you. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. As always, I'm your host, Woody Overton. And we're continuing Scorched, the State versus Scott Peterson, y'all. This death penalty phase, if you've listened to it so far on the defense side, and they're talking to Scott's dad, everybody else too, but Scott's dad, and you know, I don't know why they go back to his parents and all this stuff and what have you and whatnot. We're just getting up to Scott's college years. Again, scorched to me because if I'm on the jury and I looked at the autopsy photos of baby Connor and Lacey and heard all the shit, you know, that made me come up with a guilty verdict for him. And this listening to this shit that they're talking about, it makes no sense. Absolutely. I mean, I think the defense on this part is reaching is too small of a word for what they're doing. I would be so mad having to sit there and listen to this after months of testimony and coming up with a guilty verdict. But we're going to continue with it. It's pretty interesting, actually. So hope everybody stayed warm this past week. And naturally, I'm recording this a little bit early. So you Patreon and convicts and all can get your commercial free early releases. But we're going to continue. And on the stand, Scott's dad, Mr. Peterson, and he is being interviewed by the defense attorney, Harris. And we're in the death penalty phase, like I told you, and they are trying to paint a human face on Scott like I've never seen done before. But we're going to continue where we left off last week. And this is when Harris starts to talk to Peterson, Scott's dad, in depth about his college. He says, "You mentioned Scott went off to Arizona State and then came back to where?" Peterson, "Back to San Diego for a time." Harris, "And when he was in San Diego, did he start working for you?" Peterson, "Yeah." Harris, "Creighton Company?" Peterson, "Yeah." Harris, "How long did he work there?" Peterson, "Probably 6 months." Harris, "And it was after that period that he then went off to school in Morro Bay. Is that, if I got my time right?" Peterson, "San Luis Obispo." Harris, "San Luis Obispo?" Peterson, "That's right." Harris, "And that's where Cuesta Community College is?" Peterson, "Yeah." Harris, "Before he left, you had supported him when he went to Arizona State, that is, paid his expenses?" Peterson, "Yeah." Harris, "Paid his tuition?" Peterson, "Uh-huh." Harris, "You've been basically supporting him up until that time?" Peterson, "Yeah, he was very serious about a career in golf and through high school, other than picking up the balls at the range, of course, where we live near. We told him your job is to get good grades, practice your golf, and become a professional golfer if that's what you want. You need to put in the time, and basically, that's your job." Harris, "And is that what you did?" Peterson, "Become the best golfer you can." "Yeah, he did." Harris, "And you supported him through that?" Peterson, "Sure." Harris, "And then you supported him when he went to Arizona State?" Peterson, "Yeah, for the one semester." Harris, And then when he came back, he turned 19. Did he come to you and talk to you about continuing to support him? Peterson. Yeah, this is after he went to Cuesta. And he just moved out of the house in Morro Bay where he was staying with us. And he said, I'm going to move in with three other roommates. You guys have done enough for me. I want to support myself, and I'm going to be totally on my own. And he did it. Harris. He paid. Peterson. Every inch of the way. He worked at the Pacific Cafe, and he worked at golf courses, and he went to school. Harris. So he worked more than one job? Peterson. Oh, yeah. He went to at least two jobs, sometimes three. Harris. Just so we're clear, Scott goes off to school in San Luis Obispo, and San Luis Obispo is close to Morro Bay. Peterson. Yeah. Harris. They neighbor each other? Peterson. 10 miles, uh-huh. Harris. Now you talk about you being there. What is it when you're referring to you being there? What were you doing there? Peterson. This period kind of divides up into two periods. We moved there in 1990, Jackie and I. Harris. Previous to that, had you had a place in Morro Bay? Peterson. No. Harris. So the first time you bought a house in Morro Bay in 1990? Peterson. Uh-huh. Harris. And you moved there? Peterson. Yes. Harris. Was this a retirement? Peterson. Yeah, I retired. Harris. You turned over your Creighton company to whom? Peterson. My two sons. And after about 2 years, the business wasn't doing so well. So we had to move back to San Diego for about a year. 18 months to get it cranked back up again. And during that period, this is when Scott moved up to Cuesta. Harris. While you were back in San Diego? Peterson. Yeah. So he was living in the house. And after about 18 months, I went up there myself to Morro Bay. Jackie stayed in San Diego to start this other Creighton company. Harris. Let's talk about that for just a minute. When you say you decided you were going to start another Creighton company up in San Luis Obispo. Peterson. Uh-huh. Harris. And what made you decide to do that? Peterson. I think I missed Scott a lot, and then I guess I just wanted another base of income. So I asked Scott if he wanted to go in with me. Harris. And what did you two do together to go in? What did you do? Peterson. We each put up $3,500 and bought some tools and started making sales calls. Harris. Business successful? Peterson. Yeah. Harris. Immediately? Peterson. No, it took some time. It didn't take as much time as San Diego. There was less competition. Harris. Looking at photograph D9F-5, it's going to be very dark. Well, having you take a look at that, is that a picture of you with Scott at Central Coast Crating? Peterson. That's us. Uh-huh. That's our truck. Harris. And was he going to college at this time? Peterson. Yeah. Harris. Had he started in San Luis Obispo or was he still at Cuesta? Peterson. He was at Cal Poly by then. Harris. Was he still working at the Pacific Cafe? Peterson. Yeah. Harris. Was he still working at the golf course? Peterson. He was. He was working at one golf course a night, clean up and lock up the place. And I remember I'd go out there once in a while and catch him after work. And we'd go have dinner and just spend some time together. Harris, you have a sort of a, I mean, you obviously were there. But, well, let me ask you this question. How long were you with Scott there while at college? Peterson, right through his graduation. Harris, so you were there for several years. Peterson, uh-huh. Harris, and you watched him as he worked his way through college? Is that fair? Peterson, yeah. Harris, would you say he worked very hard? Peterson, oh yeah, he had to. Yeah, he worked hard at school. Did a great job at the Creighton Company. Harris, how many hours a week do you think he was working from what you could tell? Peterson, I don't know, when he slept. He must have worked 18 hours a day anyway of going to school and job. Harris, did you have a chance to see him when he was working at the restaurant? Peterson, yeah, quite often, uh-huh. Harris, you would go to the restaurant? Peterson, take friends there. Harris, what would he do there? What was his job? Peterson, he was a waiter. We always made sure he was our waiter, and he always had a joke to tell us. Tell us what the good entrees were for the day, and the owner would come out and talk to us. They had a very nice relationship, Scott and the owner. Harris, what was the owner's name? Peterson, Abba Imani. Reporter, can you repeat that, please? Peterson, Abba, A-B-B-A-I-M-A-N-I. Harris, at some point while you were living in St. Louis, did he introduce you to Lacey? Peterson, yes. Harris, how did that occur? Peterson, well, I remember there were, I think Susan and her family were there, and Joe and her family. So it was some kind of gathering, just a weekend in Morro Bay with us. And at any rate, Scott called and he wanted us to meet this girl. So we arranged to meet at the restaurant and we all drove down there. And I think I recall Lacey was, you know, she was meeting this huge family and didn't know any of us. And she was very, well, she seemed almost shy, which is totally out of character for Lacey because she wasn't a shy person, but, and didn't know any of us. And she was very, she just seemed shy. Harris, was this unusual for Scott to introduce you to his girlfriends? Peterson, it's the first one he ever introduced me to. Yeah. Harris, do you know about that time, about how long they had been dating? Peterson, I don't know. I don't think very long. Harris, and obviously later on they got married. Were you at the wedding? Peterson, sure. I mean, I made a foolish speech and we had a great time. Harris, they actually were dating and were married for a time period and lived in St. Louis. Is that right? Peterson, yeah. Harris, and you were there during that time period? Peterson, uh-huh. Harris, were you with them much? Did you get a chance to see them often? Peterson, yeah, we saw them a lot. We saw them, and they would come over and wash their clothes at our house because their apartment didn't have a washer. We'd have dinner at our house or go out. And a lot of times, we'd meet in San Luis Obispo for breakfast. Lacey would come over. I know of at least twice she planted flower gardens for us. She wanted to try out some new flowers on her new design, and she would show up with her flats of flowers and go to work redecorating her yard. Harris. Now, when they moved to Modesto, were you still at Morro Bay at that point? Peterson. No, we were back at San Diego by now. Harris. So you moved back to San Diego? Peterson. Uh-huh. Harris. What had happened to the Creighton Company? Peterson. I just let Scott have, well, Scott paid my interest in it, which was just our initial startup money, and I let him take it over. Harris. So did he continue to run it? Peterson. He continued to run it, yeah. Harris. And at some point, did he sell it? Peterson. Yeah, he sold it to finance this restaurant that he wanted to get into. Harris. We heard talk about the restaurant. Is this the one called the Shack? Peterson. Yes. Harris. By the time, so we have the time frame correct. By the time he bought the Shack, he and Lacey were married. Is that correct? Peterson. Yes. Harris. Once they moved to Modesto, did you get to see him very often? Peterson. Not very often. We would probably visit 2 or 3 times a year. Scott and Lacey always came down for Thanksgiving, usually Easter, and then we'd have a few days at Carmel before Christmas. That was our Christmas together. And a couple times, they might run down during the year to see us. So it wasn't anywhere near the contact we had when we lived in Morro Bay. But, I'd say as much as we could, we saw them. Harris. At what point, at some point, your wife's health became an issue? Is that correct? Peterson. Uh-huh. Harris. At what point was that? Let me rephrase that question. It's poorly done. It became sort of a major issue in her life. I know there were always points when she had problems as far as her breathing. Is that right? Peterson. Yeah, she had this respiratory problem since childhood, but it just became progressively worse because of lung tissue doesn't regenerate. In her case, she was losing lung tissue. So at one point, probably 7, 8, 9 years ago, she had to go on oxygen full time. Harris. And is that why you moved to Morro Bay? Peterson. I don't recall. It probably was, yeah. Harris. Did that affect your lives? Peterson. Yeah. Harris. In what way? Peterson. Well, it restricts the places you can go, for one thing. Harris. And why is that? Peterson. She can't go to any altitude, say over 1,500 feet, for any period of time at all. She can't breathe. She can't get enough oxygen. She can't fly anymore. Harris. She can't get on an airplane? Peterson. No, well, she can, but it's such a major undertaking. You have to get them to provide oxygen, and it's not worth it. It's easier to drive, but it impacts, it impacts everything because she doesn't have the energy to do what she wants. 2-block walk is about her limit. She hasn't lost her spirit. She's a great lady. Harris. I want to ask you this. You obviously, you were around the family, and you were home a lot.
And were you able to spend a lot of time with Scott? You saw the relationship that Scott had with his mom. How would you describe that?
Peterson. Very loving. Jackie's a hugger. She loves to hug him. She loves him. And he loves her as much as any parents can love a single child. Harris.
Would you describe it as a close relationship?
Peterson. Close. Very close. Harris.
Jackie, as far as her personality, you've known her for a lot of years. How would you describe how she reacts to adversity?
Peterson. With stoicism. She's very stoic. Very cheerful. Harris.
Does she cry a lot?
Peterson. Cry a lot? Harris.
Yeah.
Peterson. Never. Well, I shouldn't say never, but she doesn't indulge in self-pity. She accepts her circumstances and just goes on and tries to make things pleasant for people around her. She has tons of friends she corresponds with and calls, and she's just very high-spirited. She has a great heart. Harris.
Has her relationship with Scott changed over the years?
Peterson. No. Harris.
How would you describe your own relationship with your son?
Peterson. I love him very much. I have great respect for him. I just have all these wonderful memories about him as a little guy growing up. I just love him very much. Harris.
Are you close?
Peterson. Yeah. Harris.
How has this affected your life?
Peterson. I don't know. I'm frightened. I'm depressed. I guess you'd say, and deeply saddened. Just all the emotions that you might associate with losing someone we loved, and now having our son in this kind of jeopardy is beyond belief. It's something I never thought I'd have to go through. Harris.
Are you an emotional person?
Peterson. Not on the outside. I have deep feelings. But I'm pretty stoic. I don't express them. I think it's kind of a Scandinavian trait. I remember my dad and mom sending me off to the service, and they both shook my hand. No hugs, but I knew they loved me. Just didn't express it. And when something happened, you were supposed to pick yourself up, figure out what was wrong, and go fix it. Just start here and do whatever needed to be done. Harris.
I haven't gotten much further. I think I just have one other thing to get to if you want to take a break.
Then they had a recess, y'all. Look, just killing me. How many times a year you saw him? I mean, how many jobs he had? Blah, blah, blah. I mean, didn't talk a lot about Lacey, though, right? Other than, you know, they got to see her a few times a year, whatever. She planted flowers. Nothing about, you know, how do you feel about her being murdered? But anyway, picking it back up. Harris.
Lee, I think we finally got the projector to work a little better. So I'm going to go through some of these pictures. And you would just identify what they were.
Peterson. Sure. Y'all, I'm going to skip the numbers on them and just read the descriptions. Peterson. That's Scott. Sitting in my lap. I guess our living room in Scripps Ranch. I'm reading to him. He's probably 3 years old there. Harris.
Next one.
Peterson. That's the Santa Claus. I'm playing Santa Claus. Looks like Scott is objecting. I can't tell.
Harris. Is that the watch you were talking about that he recognized?
Peterson. Yes. Peterson. Yep, that's Scott. And he's probably 9 or so, and we were playing golf. I think it's the Sandpiper Golf Course near Santa Barbara. Harris,
how old was Scott there?
Peterson, I say 9 again. This is, I think it's in France, actually. We were having dinner at a very nice place in Monte Carlo. Harris,
about how old at that point?
Peterson, about 9. Harris shows another picture.
Obviously, quite a bit older here. What is that picture from?
Peterson, I can't really identify it. Looks like we're having a good time. We have our Hawaiian shirts on. Harris,
that's not the shack, is it? In the restaurant, that's not, is it?
Peterson, I don't think so. Shows another picture.
What is that a picture of?
Peterson, that's in our home in Rancho Santa Fe, celebrating Scott's birthday. Harris,
do you remember how old he was in that picture?
Peterson, 9 years old. Harris,
what is that a picture of?
Peterson, that's Scott getting a haircut, cutting his hair. Harris,
did you usually cut his hair?
Peterson, no, after about the second time, he wanted to go see a barber. That's outside his, he had a father and son breakfast at the, before he graduated from the 8th grade in Rancho Santa Fe. Harris,
and that's 8th grade picture?
Peterson, yes. Harris,
and what's this a picture of?
Peterson, that's Lacey, Scott, and I. Harris,
where is that?
Peterson, I think at the inn at Pebble Beach. Harris,
is that one of the trips you took to Carmel?
Peterson, yeah, that would have been one of our, that's how we'd celebrate Christmas with the kids. We'd get together in Carmel. We probably did that from when Scott first started dating Lacey, right up through 2002. Harris,
this is an annual ritual?
Peterson, yeah, it was. Harris shows another picture.
What is that a picture of?
Peterson, I think that's in Santa Barbara, possibly Catalina. Looks like he's about 12 or 13, maybe. Harris shows another picture.
Lastly, you've seen this before.
Peterson, yeah, I'm sure that's on the beach in Santa Barbara. Harris,
how old was he at this point?
Peterson, he's about 8 there. Harris,
right before lunch, we had talked about sort of after Scott moved to Modesto, it was a little harder for you to see him, obviously.
Peterson, sure. Harris,
see him a few times a year, and he would drive down, and I think you testified to the, and you would drive up on occasion. Did you also try a couple times a year to go on hunting trips with him?
Peterson, yeah, we did. We had a place in Lone Pine we'd go to, hunting pheasants. Usually with at least one of his brothers would accompany us, and we would meet Scott there. Harris,
and I'm not going to, obviously, you have testified before about the fishing background. I don't want to go into depth on that. We've heard quite a bit about fish, Scott's love of fishing, and you sort of growing up with him through that. But would you also once a year or so go on a fishing trip with him?
Peterson, yeah, once or twice a year. It was usually instigated by Scott, Brother Joe, who loves the mountains. So we'd meet up in Mammoth Lakes, and we would hike in and hike into some of the higher elevation lakes and trout fish at least once a year. Harris.
So even after they moved to Modesto, you were still seeing Scott a number of times per year.
Peterson. Yeah, probably average out to once a month, maybe. Harris.
10 or 12 times a year?
Peterson. Yeah. Harris.
Your other children, Susan, Mark, Joe, John, now, do any of them have children?
Peterson. Yeah, they all do. Harris.
So these would be Scott's nieces and nephews.
Peterson. Uh-huh. Harris.
Have you seen him develop relationships with these children?
Peterson. Oh, sure. They adore him. They really love their Uncle Scott. He would get on the floor with them and play and roughhouse, play ball, and football, and soccer, and whatever they wanted to do. They had a lot of interaction. So did Lacey. The kids really enjoyed Lacey because she was so small and she was almost the same size. And I think we have pictures of the kids carrying her around by the feet and hands. So, yeah, there was tons of interaction. Harris.
You had the opportunity when the verdict was read. You were with several of your nieces and nephews.
Peterson. Yeah, I had gone back to San Diego. I had some business to attend to and didn't think the verdict would be in that early. So I was at Susan's house with Joe and JD's families and Susan's families, and five grandchildren were there. And we were all sitting on the couch. And as soon as the verdict was read, all five of them burst into tears. Harris.
That had a traumatic effect on them.
Peterson. It sure did. It didn't stop. I don't know, half hour, they'd come around and hug me and climb on me, and they were just really devastated. Very troubling.
Hey, lifers, Woody Overton here, and I want to talk to y'all about something that's come up around our house more than once lately, hormones. Now, I can't speak from personal experience on this one, but I've seen it firsthand with Cindy. There were days she'd be feeling drained, overwhelmed, even a little off. We couldn't figure out why. She was eating right, taking care of herself, getting things done like always, but something just wasn't clicking. Turns out, it wasn't just stress. It wasn't just being tired. She took this free 2-minute quiz from a company called Happy Mammoth, and it gave her some serious insight into what might be going on with her hormone levels. After answering just a few simple questions, she got personalized breakdown, and one of the main things it pointed out was that her body may be overloaded with estrogen. That's when we found Hormone Harmony, Happy Mammoth's plant-based herbal formula designed to support your hormone levels, stress response, and overall well-being. Since Cindy started taking Hormone Harmony, she said it's made a noticeable difference. Things like occasional bloating, low energy, and those mild mood dips, all less frequent. And it didn't take a huge lifestyle overhaul to see those changes. Just a small daily habit that fit right into her routine. Now listen, this isn't some one-size-fits-all deal. This quiz gives you personalized recommendations so you can understand what's going on in your body and what might help you feel better. Whether it's Hormone Harmony or one of their other hormone support products, you'll know exactly where to start. And here's the thing. Happy Mammoth has helped thousands of women, and they have over 40,000 five-star reviews, and a bottle of Hormone Harmony sells every 24 seconds. That many folks can't be wrong. Ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code RLRC at checkout. That's HAPPY MAMMOTH.com and use the code RLRC for 15% off today. Summer's just around the corner, and the folks at Mint Mobile have a hot take. Getting the summer bod is out, and getting your savings bod is in. This spring and summer, we want skimpy wireless bills and fat wallets. And with premium wireless plans for just $15 a month, you can have both without breaking a sweat or the bank. I was paying way too much for wireless service and decided to give Mint Mobile a try. And I've been seriously impressed. The call quality is crystal clear, the data speeds are fast, and I'm saving hundreds of dollars. It's the easiest switch I ever made, and I didn't have to sacrifice a thing. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text, delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless and get 3 months of premium wireless service from Mint Mobile for $15 a month. This year, skip breaking a sweat and breaking the bank. Get your summer savings and shop premium wireless plans at mintmobile.com/RLRC. That's mintmobile.com/RLRC. Upfront payment of $45 for a 3 month, 5 gigabyte plan required. It's equivalent to $15 a month. New customer offer for first 3 months only, then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees are extra. See Mint Mobile for details.
Harris, since Scott's arrest a little over a year and a half ago, had you had a chance to go see him in jail?
Peterson, many times, yes. Harris,
where was he housed originally?
Peterson, Modesto. Harris,
how far is Modesto from San Diego where you live?
Peterson, it's about 425 to 430 miles. Harris,
how long does it take you to drive that?
Peterson, 7.5 to 8 hours. Harris,
were you going up there frequently to see him?
Peterson, he's allowed 2 visits a week, and I don't think we ever missed a visit. Harris,
and you said your wife can't fly, so you're driving every time. Is that correct?
Peterson, yes. Harris,
when you saw Scott in jail, what was he like? What was his attitude?
Peterson, he always just amazed me. He was upbeat. I think he was trying to protect us from worrying too much about him. He tried to keep our spirits up. We were doing likewise, but it was always a positive thing. Strange as that may sound, just to be in close proximity to him and then realize he wasn't, you know, totally devastated. He was upbeat. Like I said, I think mainly for our benefit, but he was. Harris,
obviously, you're aware of why we're here. What effect would having your son put to death have on you?
Peterson, I don't know. I don't even want to entertain that thought. I just can't imagine anything worse. Harris,
I don't have anything else, Your Honor.
Y'all, good gracious, right? All that time, every single thing is just, his mom has breathing problems and, you know, they went from seeing him all the time and he worked his way through college and da 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 da, but you paid for his tuition for this. You gave him entry into your company. You did this and this. Look, I wouldn't put any of that on. I mean, he had the most privileged, I'd say above average middle income American life that you could have. You got education. You got to pursue your dream of being a golfer. You got everything. You got the all-American girl. You open up your own businesses. I mean, fuck. You murdered your wife and you murdered your unborn child. What the fuck does any of this do but piss people off who are on the jury? I think they totally missed the mark. Normally in cases like this, that again, they were talking about something extenuating circumstance in his childhood that would have set him off to do this, right? There's some type of psychological or drug dependency problem or something that would make him click, right? Being jealous, anything. There's not one fucking negative thing they said about Scott Peterson. He is a saint, right? Even though the one point on the last episode, he's talking about, but he got his ass beat basically at Arizona State. He couldn't even get a scholarship. And he was like, the dad's like, oh, well, I think he felt bad if he beat the other players. He didn't win the rounds because he felt bad if he beat the other players. Get the fuck out of here. You think he wouldn't have beat Phil Mickelson and everybody else? It meant that he got on the PGA Tour. No, I think Scott gets a lot of his bullshit from Lee, his daddy. So thank God we're done with that part. But again, it scores, because if I'm on the jury and you're just going on and on and on and on the same fucking bullshit, and there's nothing in there. There's nothing in there that says that other than he didn't ask her directly about the nieces and nephews. But I mean, he should have said, well, wouldn't it be traumatic for your nieces and nephews if he's executed? Won't it be traumatic for you if he's executed? Wouldn't you like to keep seeing him in prison for the rest of his life instead of seeing him executed? You're trying to plead to the fucking jury to spare his life. I mean, I'm on this jury. Fuck him. He's got it way better than probably 80% of the people on the jury ever had it, or their kids have it. So anyway, it's crazy as fuck, but it is what it is. And I don't know. It's scorched. And again, I'm going to conclude this episode, but y'all, there's a reason I'm doing this. And, you know, it's interesting to see the approach that they take on this. Everybody gets married. Everybody has kids. Everybody gets their fucking first job. Where is it in here that it's not scorched, that Scott Peterson didn't have every advantage in the world and he did what he did? Now, I have problems. Yes, I do. And I'll talk about them at the end about how the state fucked up their part of their stuff. And if I believe that DNA comes back on that piece of tape to anybody else besides Scott, he's going to fucking walk. If he gets a new trial, he's going to walk. But we'll get to all that. I love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Thank you for continuing to listen. The longest series we've ever done by far. But I'm not going to stop now because we're in the end throes of it, okay? And Patreon convicts, thank you so much for your Apple subscribers. Thank you so much for your support. I love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. You're getting all your commercial-free early releases 6 days a week, bonus episodes, locked-up materials, hashtag justice for Haley. Y'all coming up on that one also. And when we get done with Scorch, we're going back to original real-life real crime stories. So stick with us. If you don't like this, a lot of you do. And I get it. It's interesting. And just that's it. That's all I got to say. Thank you to our sponsors. MLOPA, Louisiana Organ Procurement Agency. Give the gift of life, y'all. People are dying every single day. I've met some. They're dying waiting on transplants. LOPA is a nonprofit agency. They help the families through these most horrible times of their lives. And I hunted with them. I fished with them. I've hung out with them. This is something that's very near and dear to my heart. And I mean, if it was your loved one that needed a transplant, it'd be near and dear to yours also. But so become an organ donor. You don't have to be a lifer from Louisiana. You can be a lifer from Starkville, Mississippi. Go to LOPA.org, fill out the questionnaire, and give all the gifts of life and sight and all that. Look, one more thing. Cold Case Files, Murder in the Bayou. It debuted episode number 5. Debuted last night on January 24th. And y'all can get it. You can stream it anywhere from Prime to Hulu to whatever, or wherever you watch A&E. So people, a lot of people were asking about it. And the thing is well done. And I hope you enjoyed the show. And Courtney Coco's story, y'all solved it, lifers. So, all right. I'm Woody Everton, your host of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. And until next time or ever, don't let me catch you down on Murder Bayou. Peace.
Yeah, the rights remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have a right to an attorney prior to or during any question. If you can't afford one, the court will appoint one for you. Do you understand your rights?
And the wolf is at your door. You running's over, that's for sure.
Months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. It prescribes. Your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.